Mom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vidaya Swami Tiramane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Siddharane Oma Gyana Dvarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaturundalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovisham Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Paragamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Chaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakan Vitam Cha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Prishubhanu Sita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakapa Trivyasta Kripa Sinuvye Vacha Padidanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shedvaiti Gadadhar Shivasini Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya
Srimad
Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena, Text Number 17. Vaitreya Vacha Saitam Loka Guruna Vishvakshenena Vishvajit Anushasita Adesham Shirasa Jagrihe Hare Maitreya Vacha Idam Loka Guruna Vishvakshenena Vishvaje Anushasita Adesham Shirasa Jagrihe Hare Maitreya Vacha Maitreya said Sa He Itam Thus Loka Guruna By the Supreme Master of all people. Vishvakshenena. By the personality of Godhead. Vishvajit. The conqueror of the world. Maharaj Prithu. Anushasita. Being ordered. Adesham. Instruction. Shirasa, on the head. Jagrihe, accepted. Hare, of the personality of Godhead. The great saint Maitreya continued, My dear Vidura, in this way Maharaj Prithu, the conqueror of the entire world, accepted the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on his head. Purport. One should accept the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by bowing down at the lotus feet of the Lord. This means that anything spoken by the personality of Godhead should be taken as it is, with great care and attention, and with great respect. It is not our business to amend the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or make additions or alterations, as it has become the custom for many so-called scholars and swamis who comment on the words of Bhagavad Gita. Here is a practical example of how to accept the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is shown by Prithu Maharaj. This is the way to receive knowledge through parampara. So the text again. Maitreya vacha sa itam loka guruna vishvakshenena vishvajit anushasita adesham shirasa jagrihe hare. The great saint Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, in this way Maharaj Prithu, the conqueror of the entire world, accepted the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on his head. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Vidaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyadyade Sitarane." Now, either Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he knows what he's talking about, or Krishna is just an ordinary person who happened to write some good books. At least that he left us some books we can sell and therefore make a living. But from the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has told us something that, practically speaking, no one else has told us. Namely, the difference between matter and spirit, as if it made no difference. We have so many big universities in the world, and they're so-called teaching so-called knowledge is valuable. And that knowledge, as Prabhupada used to say, doesn't include explaining about the difference between our actual selves and the bodies that we're in, as if these things don't really make any difference. Yes, you happen to be an eternal spiritual soul. Big deal. Now let's get into iPhone technology, something important. Without hearing Bhagavad Gita, the fact that the body is changing and we ourselves within the body are not changing, then we may think Bhagavad Gita, you know, this book, Alice in Wonderland, they're all just books. But this book is telling us actual science, real science, the science of the self. That we're in a temporary body, and this temporary body is constantly changing, but we're not changing. So the question is, what's the next body we're going to get? Are we going to get a spiritual body? Or what kind of material body are we going to get next? We're getting so many bodies now, they're not being determined by us. We're not drawing a little diagram and asking Krishna, "Can you give me this body?" We're not going to the store and buying our next body. It's going to be given to us. Now, Bhagavad Gita is a manual to tell us, for instance, what we have to do in this material world in order to get the best possible situation. Now, we may not accept the Bhagavad Gita, but then let's see if someone can deny the fact that their body is changing. Let's see if someone can deny the fact that they themselves, within the body, are the same person. And if they say, "Well, that's not true," then we don't have to listen to them because they're going to disappear in a moment anyhow. We'll ask the next person who comes what they think. So Bhagavad Gita begins with the eternality of the soul, the Atma, and it also mentions things like how to get free from the material conceptions by karma yoga, by acting dutifully in the material world, following prescribed rules and regulations. In other words, giving up the idea that whatever whimsical thing comes to my mind, I can just do it, and it'll be all right. It makes no difference what I do, what I say, how I think. It's all the same. And by cultivating actual knowledge, beginning with the fact that the body's changing, but we ourselves are not changing. And then coming to the platform of fixing our mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now people may not believe in God, but then we have our book called Bhagavad Gita, spoken by God. And if God has six opulences, Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashashastriyaha, Jnana, Vairagyaschaiva, Shana, Bhagi, Tenganaha, that God is supposed to have six opulences. Now, if someone has a better definition of God than the person who has all six opulences, namely beauty and strength and knowledge and wealth and renunciation and fame, to an unlimited degree, if someone has a better definition of God, then let them come forward and tell us, and then maybe we'll give up this Hare Krishna movement and follow some other movement. But if someone doesn't have a better definition of God, then they have to surrender to the Hare Krishna movement, if they're an honest person. Of course, we don't expect when you go to a prison full of criminals, you don't expect everyone to be an honest person. Otherwise, in a normal country, in a normal state, how do they get in prison? We expect most people are criminals. That's why they're in the material world. But if they're going to be honest, then if we're going to talk about the subject of God, and why are we talking about God? Because we're wondering, how is it that I myself am eternal, but I've been put into a prison called material energy? Now we may say, well, actually, it's not a prison, it's a beauty shop. It's a wonderful creation. It's all meant for my happiness. I'm having a great time in the material world, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's the life, and there's nothing beyond it. Then we have to question, why is everyone afraid of death? If it's so happy being in the material world, then why is everyone anxiety about death? Why, if you go to the bookstore and go to the health section, half the books are about anxiety, if everyone's so happy. Why is that 1 out of 3 people in America are clients of psychiatrists? This is such a big, happy world to live in. Why do people go to the graves, those cemeteries, and cry if it was such a happy place? So Krishna says, Dukhalayam Ashasvatam, that this place is not a happy place. Not only there are miseries in material existence, and if there weren't miseries, then why do we have all these hospitals? They're claiming they're making advancement in curing people of so many diseases, but then every year they're also proud of how many new hospitals they're opening, how many new scientific treatments they're having, how they become able to kill anything that moves in your body so that there can't be any problem because there's nothing left. If there aren't any threefold miseries, why is the newspaper full of all bad news? Who's all happiness in the material world? And out of all the miseries, the fact that this is temporary is also a great source of distress. And therefore, everyone is working hard to get out of these miseries, trying to prolong their life. If someone goes to the doctor and then says, you're about to die, but I can prolong your life for 3 weeks more, people say, oh, you're such a wonderful person. Miracle. We're eternal, but someone's saying that they're going to prolong our life for 3 weeks more. Or the doctor comes to you and says, sir, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're going to die. So the reply is, my dear doctor, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're also going to die. But actually, none of us are going to die, nor is his body going to die, because something that's already dead can't die. The body's already dead. If you have a puppet, you're playing with the puppet, making all kinds of noises with the puppet, and then you take your hand out of the puppet falls on the ground, and all the people who are watching the puppet show come by and say, my God, the puppet had a heart attack. It died. And they're, you know, trying to give artificial respiration to the puppet, breathing into the puppet's mouth, trying to bring back to them. Finally, they turn to each other with tears in their eyes. It's dead. They put the puppet on a little plank, at least on a cardboard, and they take it to this puppet cemetery, put it to the cardboard box, and bury it, and talk about it was a wonderful puppet. Offer some flowers to it. But the puppet was never alive. Where is there any question of the puppet dying? Similarly, this body is not alive. It's already dead. And when the soul leaves the body, then we can see it's actually dead. But only due to the fact that the soul is in the body, it appears to be alive. Therefore, Krishna says, there's no reason to lament. But everyone's lamenting. Why they're lamenting? Because they don't trust Krishna. Even the first instruction, you're not this body, people will argue with it. If they don't argue with it, they can't understand it. You tell them, your body's changing. Bhagavad Gita says your body's changing. And then they'll say, no, it's not a fact. My body's not changing. It's exactly the same body I had in the womb of my mother. Really? Could I see what your mother looks like? She must be quite big. So they claim my body's not changing, and then they say, but it is changing, because I'm changing. So it's not changing, but it's not changing. And to understand that, you have to read some Zen textbook on how, what is the sound of one hand clapping. And if you can understand what hear the sound of one hand clapping, then you can understand what they're talking about. They go together. So, we tell people that your body's changing, but you yourself are aware of all these changes, you're the same person. And they deny it. No, I'm completely different. No, sir, we're not talking about your personality. We're not talking a conception of life. We're talking about the person who's conscious and aware of these things. No, I'm completely different. My body's exactly the same, and I'm completely different. So this is called madness. They're blind and they don't want to hear about the soul. Some look at the soul as amazing, some hear about the soul as amazing, some look on the soul as amazing, and some even after hearing about the soul can't understand the soul at all. Prabhupada said that their brains become so full of cow's stool that it'll take them 500 years just to understand that they're not their body. So this is Krishna's first instruction in the Bhagavad Gita, and if one can accept this instruction, then
one can't accept, one is not accepting Krishna, one will not accept anything else Krishna says either, very easily. If we can't understand something so apparent, that's so obvious, so close to our own experience, then how are we going to understand things which are way beyond our present experience? In any case, Bhagavad Gita is given to us just so that we can begin to think intelligently and see things as they are. Now, of course, Bhagavad Gita begins with the fact that we're not this body, and then Krishna goes on, eventually explaining that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, people don't mind understanding that they're not their body, because they're still in running to become God. As long as they have some possibility of becoming God, either in this world or in some other world, there's no problem. Just like Prabhupada said, as I mentioned before, he was coming back from a doctor's appointment in Los Angeles, and he went by, his car went by a movie theater that had the title, Is There Sex After Death? The title of the movie was, Is There Sex After Death? So Prabhupada came back and gave his lecture, and in the lecture he mentioned that he saw this title of a movie, Is There Sex After Death? So obviously he understood that people are worried about whether there will be sex after death. So he said, you should go out today when you preach and you should tell everyone they don't have anything to worry about because there is sex after death and 8,400,000 species of life. And if people hear that, Prabhupada said they won't be worried about dying. They think, oh, it's not so bad. I'll meet my soulmate, my next rabbit body. We can go out and eat lettuce together. So people, they don't like the fact that Krishna is declaring himself to be God. They don't like the fact that they have to die. They don't like any of these things. Because we've come to the material world in our attempt to control and to enjoy. And just the idea that someone is above us that we can't control is probably the worst thing we could possibly hear. So most people come and we tell them that, or most people you tell it to, they just, as they say, tune off, tune out. The best defense is just fall asleep. You don't have to hear it. Even if you're in the class, you got stuck, just close your eyes. When I said, it's not there, it's not there. Just like the rabbit, when it's cornered by a big animal, it just closes its eyes and says, it's not there, it's not there. No problem, no worries, no problem. Or the big ostrich, when it's attacked by another animal, an ostrich has a big, big neck and a little, little head and a big, big, big body. It just puts its little, little head inside a hole and thinks, now I'm safe. Can't get me here. So we don't like the fact that Krishna is God. He declares himself God. He says he knows past, present, and future. Because that means I actually have to take him seriously and have to follow his instructions. So the best thing to do is just deny the fact that he's actually God. Or he may be God, but he just made a few mistakes, and don't worry. 5,000 years later, we figured it all out. And now we can say what's actually going on. Krishna said 5,000 years ago that black is black and that white is white, but now black is white and white is black. Creative. We shouldn't be restricted by these old ideas. Now we have new ideas. 5,000 years ago, the sun rose from the east and set in the west, but we don't believe that anymore. As I said before in one lecture, And in Durban, I think I said the other day, Prabhupada was talking to one Indian gentleman, and the Indian gentleman said, well, not wasn't talking to him, there was a conference, and when Prabhupada mentioned about reincarnation, the Indian gentleman, who was also giving a seminar, objected and said, Swamiji, why are you talking about this Hindu dogma called reincarnation? So Prabhupada's response was, it's not a Hindu dogma, it's science, it's actually knowledge. That it wasn't like 5,000 years ago Krishna said, Adura Arjuna, now we're going to fight in this battle between all these people, but luckily I'm a Hindu god. And it just so happens you actually happen to be a Hindu also. So now we can talk Hindu philosophy. So according to Hindu philosophy, all Hindus have bodies that change. So unfortunately you're Hindu, so your body has to change. But don't worry, because at least Hindus have souls. And at the end of the Hindu body, the body of the Hindu changes for the last change, the Hindus get another body. Therefore, don't worry about it. But all these other people, these non-Hindus, their bodies don't change, and they don't have a soul, so they don't have to worry about it either. But because you're Hindu, I have to talk to you Hindu philosophy. No, it's not Hindu philosophy, it's not American philosophy or Russian philosophy or German, it's eternal knowledge. And if someone doesn't agree with it, then that's their misfortune. They can go on and do whatever they like. They may deny the fact that that's real. They may deny the fact that they're in a body and it's not under their control. What's going to happen to the body? They may deny the fact that at least time is influencing everything. Even if they don't accept Krishna as God, Krishna says, Kalosmi. They have to accept time as God because they can't do anything about it. Time is controlling every moment of our existence. What are we going to do? Say, I don't like growing older. I think I'm going to grow younger tomorrow. Go ahead, do it. We'll watch and see how successful you are. You're declaring, I don't believe in time, I don't believe in God, nothing's above me. Great, let's see what you can do. Stop growing old. Yes, I'm not going to grow older anymore. It's like the people you meet and they say, no, I am God. Are you controlling the sun and moon? And they go, yes, of course I am. I said, well, could you make it a little warmer? Or it's a little, you know, it's getting a little cold today. I could, but I don't want to. Do something. Show us something. No, no. You just have to accept I'm God. I can't do anything, but I'm God. What kind of God are you? Yes, sir, you're God. But you're such an insignificant God that there's no sense even talking to you. Or as when Prabhupada was talking, one man came to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, I'm God. I'm controlling the sun and moon. And Prabhupada folded his hand and said, thank you, God. I please accept my obeisances. My dear God, can you please get out of here? So these kind of gods we don't have to worry about. The person who's controlling, moving the sun and the moon in their orbits, the person who's in control of time, changing everything in this universe, that God we want to hear about. That God we can try to hear what he actually has to say. And since he's controlling everything throughout the whole universe, and since he's controlling every one of us, we should try to hear from him and find out what he has to say. And what he has to say ultimately is how to get out of this material entanglement and how to find out about him, how to go to another platform beyond this temporary world under the control of time, go beyond time to a world where we're with him, who's the controller of everything, including time. So that we can take up. And if we don't like that idea, the Bhagavad Gita and everything else we're doing will seem very useless to such people, and we fold our hands and offer them, you know, good luck, because you're not going to get any of it. We wish you good luck, but we don't expect you to get any good luck. And when they get smashed, when we're all being smashed by the material energy, if we're not surrendered to Krishna, so this is good. Maybe one day they'll wake up and they'll realize. Prabhupada said, if they won't bow down to Krishna now, the time of death, everyone bows down. Just like that puppet bows down. So you have to bow down at the time of death. No one has a choice. Time of death, you don't go, I'm God. And after you die, you go, I'm still God. No, you have to fall down and offer respects to time at least. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes?
Yesterday you were mentioning about desire for name, fame, honor, and profit. How do we overcome that?
Well, if we... When, however, one is enlightened by knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. And we realize that we were 1/10,000th the tip of hair in size. It would be very hard to be too proud. That we actually realize how Krishna is controlling everything. And that we can simply desire either to engage in his service or to engage in the service of the illusory energy. I don't think there would be much room for profit, adoration, or distinction. So we have to become Krishna conscious, and everything else will be taken care of. And we hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, put into practice, and Krishna will gradually reveal these things to us. Because we want him to. And if right now Krishna revealed that we were 1/10,000th the size of tip of hair in size, then all our material plans would be destroyed and we'd just be crying, why did you do it right now? Why didn't you wait a little bit longer? Till I fulfilled some of my plans at least. Or as one priest said, my dear Lord, please make me celibate, but not quite yet. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandiraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.